The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Beyond and hello and welcome to episode 810 of IGN's weekly PlayStation podcast. I'm your host, Max Scoville, and joining me today, as always, or at least sometimes, Jada Griffin.
I'm usually here. I like to hide in the studio sometimes, up when it's fun.
We should let you out into the real world more often, but you seem to be comfy in here. Also joining us, Akeem Lewanson from far away in the land of Los Angeles.
Yeah, inside of my own apartment here. I'm trapped.
I think you honestly, like, your apartment is sometimes a better looking studio than our actual studio, with all due respect to our nice studio that is nice to be in. But I mean,
people have said, like, why is Akeem always separate from everyone else whenever he's on Beyond? It doesn't make any sense. He's clearly in studio. No, I am not. This is my home. I have my own fan here. I have a lamp. This is not studio approved.
You got a couple fans over here too, if you know what I'm talking about.
Big fan here.
We got some cool stuff to talk about today. A nice normal show that is not being recorded from San Diego when everyone's running on fumes or frantically thrown together after a holiday weekend. It's just a regular ass episode of Beyond. How about that?
Yeah, it's great.
What does that mean? That means we're going to talk a little bit about the Twisted Metal show because that's out in the wild now. There's also a big old sort of breakdown of Lords of the Fallen, which I'm extremely excited about. On the sort of Soulsborne train, there's also Remnant 2, which you've been playing a ton of. There's some other very weird stuff, some tidbits of news. Let's just jump right into it. Let's get started with Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal is out now. It's the Peacock original series that is on Peacock. Probably could have explained that better.
How many times are you going to say Peacock in one sentence?
Peacock. I really don't. Of all the words I could be saying aloud, Peacock.
You're just going to Peacock all over the showcase. Just peacocking. Showing off. Yeah, just do it.
No, so they made a Twisted Metal show. I watched the first episode and a half of it on early screeners, and I did not like it. And you and Akeem really love it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. So I got to tell you right now, Max, I was kind of caught off guard by this series. I went in, you know, based upon what we've seen from like the teasers and everything, I was like, I'm not going to like this. This looks vastly different from the video games. And I went into it and I was pleasantly
surprised.
There's
more pixels in real life. Well, there's more pixels in real life than there were back in the PS1 era.
Okay,
so
Jada.
Just going to throw that out there. I mean, what, the Thong Song didn't do it for you?
I think they've marketed this game terribly. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
They definitely, and that's the funny thing. I don't understand if their marketing department is tapped into what the core fans of this video game franchise want out of a television series. First off, we didn't even know we wanted a TV series or a movie or anything like that from Twisted Metal. We just wanted a new video game. But the way that this was marketed was not good. Like, the Thong Song, like seeing Sweet Tooth go up against John Doe in a casino and the Thong Song is playing in the background, that's as far from the video game as you can get, in my opinion.
It has been 11 years since the last Twisted Metal game. Mm-hmm. That one in itself was a reboot, which I don't think sold particularly well. That was, I remember that was one of the ones that had a really impressive debut, and then it was a cool minute until it actually came out after that. The bulk of the series came out a very long time ago, and I think it's sort of the people who are making the show are you know, aware that there's nostalgia and there's people who have a fondness for that series, but there's also a very distinct possibility that a lot of the people who are watching the show are coming at it totally fresh. And also, the people who did love the show back in the 90s have maybe changed as people. Maybe they have a different perspective on things. So yeah, I think there's definitely like a sort of tonal shift at play. I'm sure there's some complaints that it's too silly. Like, it's very much a comedic show.
It's from, I believe, the creators of Zombieland. So it kind of like has that like comedic, you know, an action balancing act that it plays at moments. But them leading with that, as far as like the promotional clips that we've seen, I think that was kind of like the wrong, if we're like trying to like get the older audience in tune mm-hmm. with this, I think that was a wrong way to kind of lead with it. And not to give anything away, like the last episode kind of like gives you that, for those hardcore fans of the Twisted Metal video game franchise, it gives you that feel of the Twisted Metal video games.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder, like, obviously you say Twisted Metal, you think like car combat. That is mm-hmm. what those yeah. games are. You know, there's mm-hmm. some, you know, iconic characters behind the wheel, but like the bulk of that is in cars, and that's not what was showcased at all leading up to the show. And I'm wondering if some of that is to do with the fact that like maybe the CG wasn't ready, or maybe they didn't want to spoil it or something, or maybe they wanted to just sort of highlight the fact that it's, I don't know, maybe like it doesn't look like Fast and Furious. It doesn't look like movie quality car chases or action. Mm-hmm. Like, it's decent enough, but it's definitely like, I feel like it's got a couple notches above UPN energy to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that like it's kind of a USA Network show in a lot of ways. And I don't mean that yeah. in a horribly a terrible way.
There's a lot of great USA shows.
Yeah.
Suits, White Collar, there's a lot of good stuff.
All right, fair enough.
But yes, Burn Notice.
Yeah,
got fans out there.
The more I think about it, the more I'm kind of warming up to it. And I feel like I think, okay, so Jada, you watched it twice.
Right? I watched it twice over last weekend.
Did it grow
yes.
on you?
It did. It very okay. much did. Like, so I watched it the first time and I was kind of like, I was
did
like,
you, did
okay.
you platinum it? I know it's a show.
I got a special trophy that popped up on my PlayStation Stars app. It gave me a little sweet tooth ice cream helmet, little head for it. but no, yeah. So the first time I watched through it, I was like, okay, that was kind of interesting. I kind of liked where they went. I laughed a lot. I really liked all the needle drops for the music. They spent a lot of money on music in this show. Like, if you like music and needle drops in your shows, you'll definitely find a few that you really like in Twisted Metal. They're used very effectively. And then I was like, I watched some other stuff afterwards, and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to go on this ride again. I want to shotgun this one more time. And so I did, and I liked it even more the second time through because I knew to look out for certain things. I caught even more kind of like Easter eggs and little hidden references and stuff like that. But yeah, it really grew on me.
What was your read on it?
So, I mean, I love all the, like, you know, Jada mentioned, like, the Easter eggs. They fit in a lot of different Twisted Metal characters, like some hardcore deep cuts mm-hmm. from the franchise, which I was kind of, like, surprised to see. And the way it all played out, you, of course, again, as someone who I just want to see car combat. That's honestly all I want to see. Mm-hmm. I love the way that they did it because they pretty much just expanded upon some of the core characters that they wanted to expand upon, their backstories, and connecting certain individuals. I don't want to spoil it. There's so much I want to say, but like connecting John Doe with other characters and, mm-hmm. and also like bringing in certain big characters towards the end of the final episode so that they can pretty much sell the second season. Like, the second season is probably going to be exactly what hardcore Twisted Metal fans want, which is just
yep.
pure mm-hmm. unadulterated car combat.
So but okay,
hopefully we get a second season. Honestly, yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
So full disclosure, like, I did not, we tried to get like early review screeners. I saw a couple of them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sort of go into this and like I wasn't feeling it. I honestly thought it was going to be like a total, well, I guess car accident, a train wreck, whatever you want to call it. And then you know, apparently it's that's not the case. And like I sort of was thinking on this, and I think ultimately, like, I never really had any particularly strong feelings one way or the other about Twisted Metal. Mm-hmm. I think this one definitely does beat you over the head with a lot of kind of like 90s throwback nostalgia
yeah.
references, which are sort of they're hammy, but like the more I think about it, the more I'm sort of appreciative of the show and just that it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, it definitely yeah. does not take itself so seriously, and it makes sense canonically why it's kind of very 90s throwbacky based on the timeline that they're doing the show.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to make this show deadly serious, it would be really, I think, really not great. Like,
it it'd
really,
be, I would have yeah. probably jumped off of it immediately. It would have just been,
yeah, I mean, I think it's more digestible. Like, I mean, in the same way that it's really hard to make like a horror show that goes like as a series mm-hmm. because it's a longer, you know, sustained. You got to have some, you know, if you're gonna have people along for the ride, you got to kind of make it a fun ride.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. You could have made like a very, you know, intense, you know, pedal to the metal, twisted metal movie that was just maybe more condensed stunts and stuff, a little bit less personality, which I'm sure would have pleased some people. But I think also it succeeds because it has room to breathe.
Yep.
You know, I think there's also, to a certain degree, there's a little bit of like Stockholm syndrome that happens with shows. And you see this with a lot of shows where people are like, no, it gets super good after the third season. And like, I don't know. Also, if you spend 6 hours with characters, you kind of warm up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we were talking about this. Anthony Mackie, I don't think is great in this.
I think he is great in this. I think the character he's playing and how the direction that they have the character going isn't great, but I think his execution on that character is great. I think his work on it, his performance is great. But I don't think the character itself is doing what it needs to do. So hopefully that does evolve in season two.
Okay.
But his performance, I think, is great.
Yeah, his performance is good when he's, you know, being the action star, when he's delivering those dramatic moments. But I think, you know, Max and I were on the same page here. As far as comedy is concerned, I'm sorry. I love Anthony Mackie. I don't think that's that's not his strong suit at all.
Like, he made me laugh all the time.
The thing the conclusion we both came to separately is that it seemed like he was doing an impression of 90s Will Smith.
Yes.
Like
yes.
He's just doing the sort of the welcome to Earth. I have got to get me one of these. I make this look good. Like those mm-hmm. kind of classic, you know, 90s lines, which in itself is like, is this kind of feels like it could have been like deliberate.
I was going to say, is that a bad thing? We liked 90s Will Smith.
Rubbed me the wrong way.
We liked
that's,
that, right?
I mean, that's true. It's just, I don't know. Like the thing is, I guess.
Like
it came off as force for me. It came off as force because I've never seen him in any sort of comedic, you know, fashion. I've never seen him deliver. It just seemed like he was trying too hard. But honestly, it's not his fault. It was just what was written. He was probably told, act like Will Smith from the 90s. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
So I think doing a lot of stuff where he's just like in a Subaru on a green screen and they're like, act like you're driving the car. And he's like, I'm driving the car. Like there's, you know, a lot of stuff where he's kind of in a vacuum for that. But yeah, I mean, it's got a 67% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 94% with audiences. IGN's, what's his name?
Matt Fowler
gave it an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
He even called me out in his review. He called me out that I wasn't a big fan of it because I made an Entertainment Fix, which is one of my shows. You all should check it out Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on IGN. One of the episodes was titled The Latest Twisted Metal Trailer. Looks remarkably bad or something like that.
It looked bad going up. Like it really did not look good from events. Here's the thing. I didn't watch the whole show and I wanted to be prepared for this episode. And I don't particularly care. So I went and I watched like a spoiler filled Easter egg breakdown thing. And I watched this video this dude did, J Buck Studios, who's like, I think a really big Twisted Metal fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of endeared me to it a little bit because of how densely packed this show is with like references to the source material. And it seems like it's done in ways that aren't just like the thing that really bugged me in the first episode, there's a part where he's Anthony Mackie's like driving through a mall and he crashes through like an electronics boutique. And it's sort of like first you're like, I remember those from the 90s. And then a copy of Twisted Metal just lands on his windshield. And I'm just like, that's stupid.
That's great. That is great.
No, so the more I hated that.
Saying it out loud, I kind of like it.
It's great. What else would they have fly on the windshield? Like you wouldn't have anything else. Like it just makes the most sense.
It should have been like a Gran Turismo game or something.
That would have been a different. That, I don't know. Would that have been a good joke?
No, that would not have been a good joke. No,
like cars. Metal, how come those cars aren't
Vigilante
shooting?
Vigilante 8. Just get that.
Vigilante 8. I think would have been hilarious, but also that's like directly like representing their competitor to a degree.
Yeah,
I don't know. Vigilante
maybe,
8 was.
Maybe it lands on. Oh, there's crap all over my windshield.
Yeah, that would have been good. Yeah. That'd have been good.
No, I mean that's we're like nitpicking the jokes and stuff, but like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm stoked this exists because like again, like this is the second PlayStation Productions thing we've gotten in the TV space. Like, we've gotten, you know, we've gotten Last of Us, which is getting, you know, Emmy nominations. Like, this, that is one of the phenomenal prestige TV. And coming off of that into this, it is a different thing entirely. Yes.
And, well, you can see the budgets are very different between Last of Us and
totally.
This.
And I'm sure some of that is on the streamer that, you know, produced it rather than Sony internal stuff. But, like, I'm happy that we're seeing variety like that.
And successful variety.
Yeah.
To a degree, you know?
It also, like, in terms of what it does setting up a second season, no idea if that's going to happen because of all the weird stuff going on with strikes and also just streamers kind of cutting corners left and right. But, like, it does the thing that the last Mortal Kombat movie does, where it doesn't play its entire hand. Mm-hmm. Like, it saves some fan favorite stuff. It saves some things that it's like, oh no, we're saving that for later.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Which honestly kind of makes sense, because I feel like if they packed in as much as they probably wanted to, that fans want, like I want to see Axel. You know, I want to see a big ass dude with wheels for hands and feet. Like, I want to see that. But I feel like that requires like its own like episode to kind of like, you got to explain, how did this dude get strapped to wheels?
Akeem, you have to explain that. I have questions.
Akeem, can you do that motion again for Axel?
I don't know what I did.
You just kind of put your arms out to the side. You wanted to see Axel like arms wide out.
Was it like my Axel Foley impression?
You were like Axel or whatnot like that.
Now, when he shows up, do you think they're going to play the Harold Faltermeyer's Axel F from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, or are they going to play With Arms Wide Open by Creed? I feel like either one could probably needle drop.
Yeah, they're going to play the Beverly Hills song for sure. Like, yeah, what's going on, man? Why do I have wheels strapped in my hands?
For the third,
there we go.
Kind of was, yeah.
There we go. Yep, there we go. In post, let's make sure, let's add some tires on Akeem. let's just make him into Axel.
Anyway, so yeah, the Twisted Metal show, it's out there.
There's something I want to say, though. I want, for those fans out there, please give it a chance. I, again, like, as someone who is like a fan of the franchise, I was like, there's no way this is going to be, it's obviously not going to be as dark as the video games, because it can't be. Like, you know, Sweet Tooth, you know, he was a serial killer. Like, and, you know, I'm kind of glad they made him like a, he was a child actor, though. His backstory in the series was that he was a child actor, and, you know, he hated his co-stars as a kid. So now he's like this. He's, I don't know. His mind's been warped. Same thing with John Doe. He lost his memory as an adult, as opposed to as a kid. So I kind of like that they kind of lighten things up, because, you know, some of the backstories of the characters is a lot more grim and dark and morbid. So just go in this knowing these facts and go in with an open mind, and I guarantee you'll be thoroughly surprised, because I was. And let's just hope that it gets a second season. I feel like that's where it's really going to just, like, it's going to just lighten up. It's going to lighten up. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be exactly what we want.
I haven't asked the Beyond audience for anything this year, and the one thing I'm asking you, go watch Twisted Metal. Just go watch
Please.
It. Watch it for me and Akeem.
I honestly, like, I don't know. I guess I want to watch it, you know?
Yes, Max, yeah. you're going to watch it.
I like a lot of crap. I like a lot. There's a lot of bad movies I love, and I'm just like, I need to watch this. Just give me some crap. Like,
I just want to say, we're not being paid to say this by PlayStation Studios, because I know some people are going to say that, they're probably paying you. No, they're not paying us. This is presented by Pringles.
We didn't even get screeners, and my Peacock subscription lapsed, and I didn't finish the Russian Doll, and
you got to go finish that, too.
I know. It's just too many subscriptions. I don't want to do it, you know?
Or, wait, Russian Doll, or is Poker Doll? I think your Poker Face is what you're thinking.
Poker Face.
Same thing.
Russian Doll is the Netflix one. But
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
Same actor.
Yeah. Same actress. But yeah.
Glass Onion, whatever it's called.
So, Akeem, before we move on, I do want to talk about the Samoa Joe, Sweet Tooth, Will Arnett combination.
Threw me off.
Did it? I thought it was great. I think Will Arnett's humor lands very well for Sweet Tooth, kind of how they handled Sweet Tooth in the show. And I feel like Samoa Joe's blocking and character work, like the physicality of it, matched up with the dialogue perfectly. Like, if I had never heard Will Arnett's voice, I would have thought that was just the actor who was portraying, I would have thought that was Samoa Joe's voice that he was doing for the show.
Sometimes that mask was moving when words weren't actually coming out of his mouth. So
the teeth, I mean, what do you mean the mask? What do you mean the mask was moving? The teeth don't open. It's like it's a porcelain.
The mask was moving. I saw it shaking when words weren't coming out
of
his mouth.
Sneeze.
I mean, just because the mask is going like up and down. Like, here we go. This is the great. There you go. This is the thong song. This is a great moment.
Also, I gotta say, I love Samoa Joe. I also love Will Arnett.
So, I love Cisco.
But what same.
Do you know his real name is Mark?
You know that because you watched the show. That's the only reason why. Don't act like you just Wikipedia'd that on your own. No, you watched the series.
Dare you, Akeem? I am a child of the 90s. I know my 90s trivia. And it's 90s week at IGN. So, ha.
I don't even think Wikipedia existed in the 90s. So
It
out.
It's because I listened to music.
There were three things on it. They were still asking for $5 a month, but
why couldn't Will Arnett be in that mask? That's what I want to know. Was he not available?
He didn't want to put on 200 pounds and grow 8 inches.
Yeah, that would have been really awkward.
Fair enough.
I just love that, like, that casting could have totally happened if they made this in like 2002. It's like it's Samoa Joe and the mean guy from Upright Citizens Brigade. all right, so yeah, Twisted Metal is out there. That's a TV show. We should probably talk about some actual video games.
Sure.
We just got a big, huge breakdown of Lords of the Fallen, showing off like what the actual game is like. It's almost like an uncut, you know, gameplay breakdown. There's a bunch of little cuts around there.
It jumps to a couple different regions.
It's a decent enough, I feel like, kind of cross section of like what we can expect. And I'm really excited about this game. And the thing that kind of keeps hitting me over the head about it is like, it looks very FromSoft, unsurprisingly. This is a Soulsborne. This is not a surprise. We knew this coming in. But it also is like the best looking one we've seen, like, period, I think. Like, this is an Unreal 5 game.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
To showcase it. Just watching our gameplay in the trailer, like, I'm you know, I'll take it with a grain of salt because it's, you know, pre-launch. There's no UI or anything.
It's choreographed and everything like that for the most part. Yeah.
Like, there's just so much incredible, like, just detail, like the textures on everything, like the lighting. It looks just really amazing. Just on a strictly kind of surface level thing, I feel like this is like maybe the first true next gen Soulsborne.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the big kind of conceit there is, well, what about Demon's Souls, which is a PS5 launch game?
Yep.
But it was also a remake of a PS3 game. So, like, structurally speaking, that had, like, PS3 design sensibilities.
Yep.
And then we've had Elden Ring, which is cross-gen. And we had, you know, Remnant 2, which is, you know, again, also cross-gen. But this is, I feel like, the first one where it's like, oh, this is a Soulsborne, kind of pretty conventional Soulsborne approach that is properly putting the new hardware to the test. And it genuinely looks like it. And I'm pretty stoked. Am I
up? You're alone in the boat. You're alone in the boat.
You don't like it?
No. I don't hate it. I think Lords of the Fallen looks great. I think you're absolutely hammer on the head, nail on the head, hammer on the hail. I don't know. I should stop doing those types of things. Making those metaphors, analogies, things. I don't get them right in ever. I think it looks great. I think from a technical level, I think the Unreal Engine 5 is doing a lot of great work here. The swapping between worlds and stuff we saw, and how that kind of like is kind of instant and doesn't really have like any type of transitions for it. It's just like natural. Looks great. I am a little worried because it does look so much like a FromSoft from a combat perspective that it's going to feel like a little too much of the same for me. I also get that when you play a Souls game, you want that kind of style. So like, I don't fault them for it, but it's not clubbing me over the head like, oh my god, I can't wait, this is going to be my whole freaking persona. Well, once it drops,
clubbing you over the head, one thing I see a lot of people bring up in regards to this being again Lords of the Fallen is the first game had like infamously clunky combat.
Yes,
like, it was very slow and heavy and plodding, even by Dark Souls standards, and this one, that does not look like the case.
No,
it also looks like it's very much about like crafting cool builds and getting weird. There's like three different flavors of magic you can do, all kinds of. You can have like Wolverine claws that set people on fire. Like, it looks like you can really do whatever the hell. You can do Kamehameha waves. I don't know.
It looks really cool. It's got a lot of really cool mechanics and stuff they showed off, like being able to rip the soul out of an enemy and beat the crap out of it.
Beat up the soul, yeah.
Yeah, for a bunch of bonus really damage, awesome. Which is really cool. And I'm definitely going to play it. Like, this is definitely a day one play for me. It's just not a day one, oh my god, like, there's 72 days until Lords of the Fallen comes out. 71 days till Fort. Like, Akeem, what's your read on this?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, like, obviously there's going to be a lot of, you know, comparisons made to Elden Ring, and I believe even the creative director said that there's, like, you know, it features similar design aspects to Elden Ring, and there's actually a boss that heavily resembles Malenia in this game. I kind of wonder if like comparisons to Elden Ring is either gonna help or hurt this particular game.
I think that, like, there's definitely some open world fatigue, and I like talked to some people who were like not wild about the fact that Elden Ring was open world.
Yeah,
which I love, but at the same time, it's the, you know, it's the same thing where people were mad about like Breath of the Wild didn't have dungeons. You know, like there's something to be said for like bespoke, focused, you know, more linear, walled off stuff. And I'm pretty sure this is. I don't think this is open world. I think it's a more kind of conventional, you know, Souls-like.
It definitely feels kind of Dark Souls 2, 3, maybe Bloodborne-y kind of bit.
Which I'm totally cool with. I think that it lends a certain amount of focus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like exploring. I like poking around. I think there's going to be a very cool added layer with the whole, the fact that you basically can look between realms. Like, there's that whole...
Yeah.
Umbral. Kind
of, yeah, there's the Umbral realm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, funny to me that, like, if you die, you go to hell. Like, if you get killed in the game, you don't die entirely. You just wind up in an alternate reality where things are, like, a little bit scarier and blue.
Yeah.
I was really
hoping...
I was really... I was really hoping we were going to get more of a look at that, the whole eye feature, that they were going to explain more of that in this breakdown, where it's like, based on your behavior, like the game kind of changes up its behavior to you, and they didn't talk about that in this.
That's true, yeah. That was a thing that they mentioned on...
it was like one of the early, like, previews.
Yeah, it was a write-up from like way earlier this year, and it was talking about how there's like a system where basically the worse you are at the game, the more... The enemies become more aggressive or something like that. There's something where basically if you try to avoid fights, they come after you, something like that, to that effect. But they didn't touch on that at all. There was a thing about, you mentioned there's like an eye icon that they talk about, but there's no UI at all in this demo. So like there's clearly some stuff they're playing close to the chest still. I'm stoked about this personally because, you know, a lot of people like, they like FromSoft games because of the big epic boss fights. They like the challenging difficulty, rewarding combat, whatever the things people are always saying. I just love the exploration in those worlds. Like, it feels like trespassing, you know, like
that is a great way to put it.
Yeah. You're creeping around in someone else's backyard and you're trying not to get caught. And
but meanwhile, murdering everybody, any other trespassers you find that are there or guards hired.
I think there's, you know, something to be said for like trying, you know, you want to play the game and level up and get good at it and all that. But I also I kind of love just creeping around and like finding like that thrill of like opening a gate or a door or finding a new campfire. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated how much Elden Ring, I feel like, was very forgiving in that sense because of all the, you know, the sights of grace.
Yep.
Touch grass, whatever. This one, like, I'm hoping that there's a really cool kind of layer with, like, it's got similar, you know, you find bonfires or whatever they're called, vestiges or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the added layer of exploration with this, like, funky lantern that lets you go between dimensions, that just seems like, that's the double cheeseburger that I want. Like, it's taking the thing I liked already and it's doubling down on it, and I'm there for that.
I really like it because you know they're going to hide the coolest stuff. It's going to be all hidden in the Umbral Realm. Like, the best things are going to be there. Like, there's going to be, like, you know, they showed in the breakdown. He's like, I was like, oh, look, there's a thing over here. Where do I have to go to get to this other pathway? And there's going to be something that's going to be super hidden somewhere that you're going to have to use the Umbral lamp to get to. And it's just going to be a pain in the butt. And I actually do like that aspect of it.
I love that it's also like everything is trying to kill you in regular world, but in Umbral world, it's even worse and it hates you a lot. And you have to fight the horrible Mr. Potato Head and wait until he opens his face up to stab him with your magic knife or whatever. I don't know. About this.
You think
and again, totally at face value, it looks freaking gorgeous. Like, it looks incredible. Yeah. I'm like, we really like this console generation. There have been some bangers. There's been some cool stuff, but I feel like it has also been very, very slow to take off. You know, we've had a lot of cross-gen stuff, which is kind of held back in a lot of ways, you know, and there's things that have looked gorgeous, and then they've had design sensibilities that were limited by what it could do on the older hardware. And in this case, it is from the ground up made to be running on this stuff using an engine that was designed to be made for this stuff. Like, it's just, it's new, you know, it's new. And I'll give it, you know, I'll take it with a grain of salt to be, you know, a little bit of skeptical about it, because it is a FromSoft styled game made by a studio that is not FromSoft. And there's a lot of weird magic that goes into that I'm, I think some skepticism is fair, but also from what I've seen, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
This studio is far away from FromSoft. I'll give this game a shot for sure. That was a joke, by the way. I'll give this game a shot for sure. But it just reminds me a lot of other games. And, you know, like the whole, like, Umbral Lamp and Umbral Realm thing reminds me of Hellblade. a sinuous sacrifice. And of course, just the aesthetic reminds me of Elden Ring. You know, I'll play it just because, but, you know, I'm not like super stoked for this one.
Yeah. One thing I am excited for is this is going to be probably the easiest Souls game to co-op in.
Yes.
Compared to the other games.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the demo. They say something about how it's...
You can join at any of the vestiges. Your friends can join in or whatnot, or you can join them, and you can stay as long as you want or they want to, which is, you know, it's a small dig at Elden Ring where it's like, okay, cool, let's join up. Oh, we killed this boss in this little tiny one-room dungeon or cave. Sorry, you got to... It kicks you out. You got to join back in. So definitely a dig at them for that, which... I think a smart play.
You're
because
not gonna have to get like the official Prima strategy guide to figure out how to play the game with your friend.
How do you guys like? Oh, I got to get this finger, this rotted finger, or I can't remember.
It is hilarious how obtuse FromSoft is about that stuff, and everyone figures it out. And it's fun. We have a good time, but at the same time, it's like, oh, you've got to get this
this little compass,
the grieving woman's bell, and you've got to ring it, and somewhere a somber sound will be sounded, and then your friend will appear from an apparition of another world, and then they, you know.
Yeah,
they do the Macarena and they disappear after you kill the boss, and it's like, what was it?
So yeah, I'm really excited to play through this with my partner. Like, we're playing Remnant 2 full co-op right now, and I can't wait. This one, it looks like it's gonna be another good one for us to sit down and just burn through in a couple weekends together.
Yeah, no, it'll be cool. Anyway, that is out in a few months. I'm stoked about it, looking forward to it. Something that is out right now, which is undoubtedly appealing to quite a few Soulsborne fans and fans of other types of things, is Remnant 2. And Jada, you are head over heels for this game.
It is very quickly moving up to frontrunner for my game of the year. It's got some solid RPG elements to it. The gameplay is snappy. The storyline is good so far. I'm like 15 hours in my world, 15 hours in my partner's world, because it's completely different. And so we're alternating between each other's worlds, just whenever, oh, I hated this area. I actually got snatched into a sewer grate, and I still have no idea what grabbed me.
That's not great.
I have never been more traumatized in a Souls game than when that happened. I have never felt more like a side character in a horror movie. Just being there just to be shown on camera, to be ripped into the darkness and devoured with no chance.
In Bloodborne, when a guy puts you in a bag and you wake up in jail, that's pretty weird.
But yeah, well, this one, it just happened and I had no idea. Like, I literally was just like looting. I was like breaking stuff. I rolled into this little cavern or whatnot, picked up some scrap, and then turned around and just got yanked into the sewer. And I was just like, what happened? Now, and I love it.
That may sound like a spoiler, but the thing about this game is it's so procedurally generated that everyone is having different experiences.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, really fascinating, because like, I want to be like, oh yeah, it's great game of the year, you know, potential. People are going to have a great time. And it's like, there's a kind of randomness to that where you may not like the game you get. You may get an entirely different game that... I don't know. I feel like it's tell me about your what's your world? What are your worlds?
So we joined into my partner's world first, and it put us in this very Bloodborne bespoke castle with like was like lauded with gold, and like it looked like Bloodborne before the blood, basically. Okay. And so we were going through this world, and then eventually we shifted into this umbral version of it, basically, which is now all decrepit and very Bloodborne-esque. Okay. And very different. And this is just his world, and we're going through this, and we got this like storyline with these like two kings, and they're like, hey, go kill this guy, but he's also me. And then you go see the other guy, like, hey, go kill this other guy, but he's also me. And I'm just like, well, I don't know what to do here now, because they're telling me the same thing. Just gonna have to kill one of them.
One always lies and one always tells the truth.
But they're all
figure it out.
But this is actually what footage we got here going that was just going on as we looked like my world. When I joined my world, I got the forests of Yaesha, and it's just like,
Are you kidding me with this?
And like, it's like this like rotted forest or whatnot. And I was told that like there's this like demon that from the last Wanderer, the character from the first one, has after he killed our guardian, a new thing popped up in our tree and is now like devouring us from the inside. And so we need you to stop that. Otherwise, like, you know, we're gonna execute you.
The thing that got me excited about this game, there's like a specific screenshot that looked like it kind of almost looked like a Russian Orthodox spin on Bloodborne. Like, it was some really cool screenshots from, like, this is like, you know, first previews, and it was some cool enemies, and I was like, ooh, I like that art direction. I like that design. I want to play this game because I want to see that stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to see these weird, you know, firelit villages and these, like, you know, kind of just, I want more gothic stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be a Fallout guy with a shotgun. I'll go in there and do that whole thing. But I want to go do medieval things. I loaded this game up, and I go through the Abyssian portal or whatever it's called, and it put me in like the planet from Alien, but it's full of like Matrix sentinels. I'm like, I want to play some gothic medieval fantasy stuff, and I just start fighting robots, and I was just like, what is this? Where am I? Like, and I That's on me. I knew what I was signing up for. I knew what I should have expected, but I guess that's...
You didn't know what to expect.
I should have expected
the
unexpected.
Yes.
But I was like, hell yeah, I cannot wait to go fight some cool gothic monsters. And it's like, robots!
And I think that's part of what's really doing it for me, is the fact that I love... The biggest thing a game can do to earn my praise is to surprise me. And Remnant 2 is full of surprises nonstop. Like... We just put up a news story today about one of the classes to unlock it. Somebody had to data mine to get the class, and they literally coded that into the game. Like, the only way to figure out how to get this class is somebody would have to go in, data mine the information on this class, and then share it with other people. Like, and it's themed around that.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So, like, they've really, like, dug in some deep layers around this game.
They understood exactly who was playing this game.
Yes, exactly.
If you build it, they will data mine it. That
yes.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, and it's just great. And, like, the enhancements and stuff, like, the pacing is really good. I never feel like I'm going longer than maybe 10 or 15 minutes before I get something new and shiny, like a skill point or a new weapon or a new ring. Like, it's... The pacing is done excellent.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah, the pacing is fantastic. Me and my partner, we started on the nightmare difficulty. It literally says we do not recommend you starting on this difficulty because it is...
finish the whole game. It's free.
Yeah, it's like... it's because it's designed to be around, like, hey, you've got your build is set. You've got all these new upgraded weapons. Your armors are upgraded. You've got a bunch of skill points. We like, nah, we just jumped in level one, nothing. Going around shotgun, like, level one shotguns and sniper rifle for him. And we're moving through it just fine. But there have been a couple bosses where it's like, okay, we have to figure out what we're doing here. It's like, okay, you have to keep control of the ads. I'll focus on the boss. It's like, okay, now I'm kiting. I'm calling out that this enemy is jumping across the map at you while this other one is laser beaming another one of the areas, and we're having to, like, coordinate the whole thing the whole time. Like, it is.
How many players co-op is it? Is
three.
It three? Okay. Will you come
players.
And save me from the robots? They're horrible.
That is the only thing. I will do that for you.
I've not seen the robots.
I have not seen the robots.
You haven't seen any robots at all?
I haven't seen any robots.
How did I get stuck with these robots?
I haven't seen robots. I've fought like these, like, tentacle creatures. I've fought, like, goat people. I've fought
I didn't get any of it.
I've fought, like, sentient rocks that look like TVs, basically. They have, like,
That's
TVs
kind
in
of
their
a
head
robot.
Yeah, it's kind of like a robot. And so it's just really cool.
What class are you playing?
I'm playing the Challenger class. So it's like the kind of gladiator, get up close, melee things.
Have you messed with the dog guy?
The dog class is actually a lot of fun. I picked that up as my subclass. My partner started with the handler class, I think is what it's called. And he's using the dog so that it, like, revives us when one of us goes down. He just sends the dog to pick me up.
I probably should have gotten that
stuff
one.
Like that. Yeah, we definitely
roam when I'm lost in the mountains.
Yeah, we've definitely the thing is, like, playing on the harder the nightmare difficulty, we've definitely scaled towards survivability over damage first because it just makes the most sense. So we're like, okay, let's get a bunch of heal stuff early because we have limited hearts for healing. We have, you know, we're gonna go down in like 1 to 2 hits, which we do most of the time. We still go down in 1 to 3 hits, I'd say. But also, they've done a really good job of not making the enemies bullet sponges in the harder difficulties. The enemies still, like, basic enemies will go down in 1 to 3. The elite type enemies, the stronger ones, like we say on screen, that's like, you know, 8 to 10 shots and stuff, which is a fair for an elite.
That shows a fair amount of restraint on the developers' parts. I feel like there's, again, to your point about giving you treats enough, like, there's, you know, there's something to be said for things being too easy to kill, but mm-hmm. also bullet sponginess is never. Is that ever fun?
It's never fun. It's never fun. Bullet spongy is never good.
You could argue that like a lot of FromSoft bosses and Soulsborne bosses are. Sword spongy?
Yes.
But it's like
they're very meaty.
Yeah, but there's also there. You know, when you have like a cool,
you've got the right build and stuff,
like a visceral attack or a you know back
a riposte and stuff like that. Yeah,
stuff like that. It kind of makes it feel more special. But like it's hard to kind of short of doing just like a headshot. It's kind of hard to do that with a gun.
Yeah, and so like they've got like the headshots, and then they've got like So they've got critical hits, and then they've got like critical hits on headshots that are on weak points that do more damage. You can buff that with other skills and abilities and stuff, which is really good. They've done a really good job of like balancing out the classes to make it really feel worthwhile to like to experiment with dual typing, because once you hit level 10 in one of your classes, you can pick up a second class and dual class, and you can swap them on the fly.
We got this gameplay up on the screen right now, and
this little castle area. This is where we started.
This is like at a restaurant with a bunch of people, and they all order stuff that's different from you, and you're like looking at their plate. Like, why did I get the salad? I have these stupid robots I gotta fight. I hate it. I guess I should just reroll. But it also makes me want to dig into it further. But
it's fantastic. I think they did a really good smart thing with. I don't know. Have you gotten to a boss yet?
No.
Okay. So I don't know how, I haven't looked up to see if that's how it works, but for us, when we fought all the bosses, they have modifiers attached to them. And I don't know if it's on, because we're on Nightmare, most of our bosses have 3 modifiers. And so some of them have made them a little spongy because they had like, elemental resist, regeneration, like empathy. So anytime we healed, they healed, and they were also regenning. So we're like, okay, so we have to be perfect in this fight. We can't take damage. We have to burn through this thing as fast as possible. But it's just, they have so many really cool things, and it's like, I'm constantly like, what does that mean? What is this? How do I use this?
I wish that, there's a lot I like about the game. I wish it would shut up. I wish it was, I feel
I've heard that.
Very chatty.
I've heard that complaint from some people, because anytime you get an encounter, it's like, oh, here they come.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Even just aside from that, I feel like the lore is very like,
oh, it's dense.
Yeah,
it's very dense.
I don't know, like that's the thing I love so much about Soulsborne is like it's about exploring. It's about like getting to an alien world and somebody gives you like they're like, here, rent the headphones, we'll give you the walking tour. It's like, that's not really an alien world anymore. Like, okay, I'm at Fisherman's Wharf. Like, okay, this is Tura Central. Like,
I get it. Like, for me, I appreciate that those small breaks in the gameplay to kind of slow down the moments and talk to the NPCs of the world and learn more about it, because it allows me to, like, once I get through that, like, then it hits the ground running and it's just like full speed action until I get to the next person, and then it's like,
it's weird to go through an abyssal rift or whatever and then wind up in a completely unthinkable alien realm, and then you talk to something and it speaks English. Just throwing
it's
that
it's
I don't know.
Well, you know, it could be the D&D approach where D&D, like, oh, that was it. That was the thing. I didn't even see the creature. Way too scary.
Too scary.
Are those your robots?
No, my robots don't even look cool. They look like the Tyrion from Destiny. They look like the octopuses from Matrix, or they look like the battery's not included. They're not even cool robots. They're fine. They're okay. Roomba looks cooler.
It looks cooler. I forgot where I was going with this. But go ahead, Akeem.
You know, I was going to say, everything that you all said is enough to get someone hyped for Remnant 2. But Jada, you said that this is one of your front runners for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I want to know in just like a few sentences, what about this game makes you think this is Game of the Year?
The game is constantly feels rewarding. Every time you overcome like a tough boss, like you get that feeling of triumph that you get when you fight any other boss in a Souls game and, you know, hard fought battle. The gameplay is just sharp. It's very like everything feels, I don't know. It just feels good to play.
It feels good, yeah.
It feels good. Like, you can tell, like, when you have an impact on something, like, when you hit something. Like, you'll play certain games. Like, I played, like, Immortals Fenyx Rising, and I'd be, like, hitting something, and it's like, I don't feel the impact of this attack. Remnant, every melee swing feels crunchy. Every headshot feels just like glorious. Like it's just, it's awesome. Every, all the secrets hidden in this world to explore. The fact that the replayability on this game is like almost unheard of in modern day games, because every time you roll the world, it's different quests. It changes up the aesthetic of the world. You get different rewards.
You get the robots. Just unplug your PlayStation
and turn it back on again. Yes. Like, cause so like I finished my jungle world, right? And then I re-rolled the jungle world in an adventure separate file, and it re-rolled the jungle, gave me a completely different quest, but the aesthetic now is like green and blue instead of green and red. That's a very small change, but I'm also very early into it, so I'm sure there's more stuff deeper that I haven't gotten to yet. But it's like the fact that it gave me a whole different quest was like, hey, this deer god and this like wolf god are fighting, and we need you to help stop the wolf god.
Dear god.
And it's yes, dear god, exactly. it's just so, there's just so much to this game, and it's really doing it for me.
So this reminds me of do you remember the first Digimon that were like the Tamagotchis?
Yeah.
Tamagotchis for boys or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I got one of those.
They came in like the little digi device.
They look like they were like a little dungeon cage thing.
Uh-huh.
And you get one. And I wanted, like, I don't know, one of the cool ones that looked like a Triceratops with a helmet on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept getting a blob.
Oh, you kept getting Numamon.
And you had to feed them and raise them and all that. And mm-hmm. I was like, maybe it'll be a different one every time I do it. And it took me, like, I basically had to keep killing this poor fake animal and being like, maybe I'll get a Tyrannosaurus now. And I would raise it. It would just be, like, the same blob. And I was just like, I didn't want the blob. I wanted a cool one.
That was the Digimon experience. Like, did you ever play Digimon Adventure on the PS1? Mm-hmm. So like in that one, like depending on how you raised your Digimon, like if you didn't do a good job raising them stat wise, feeding them, taking them to the bathroom when they needed the bathroom and stuff, when they did their first Digivolution, they would turn into like a Numamon, and you would just get this really crappy slime Digimon.
So, but I was good at raising my.
Your Tamagotchi,
anyway,
Digimon.
What did I do? Yeah. What did I do to wrong Remnant that it's throwing robots at me? I don't like it.
I will. What? You know what? I will. This game is good enough for me to double dip and buy it on PC to play with you, because it's not crossplay. That is one of the big things that I do have a. I'm hoping they add it later. That is one of the things that does bum me out. It's not crossplay, but it is good enough for me to buy it again. So.
Okay. Well. We have some exciting.
Well, I'm taking bets. You know, I bet you $100 that this won't win an award.
Oh, I will take that bet. I will take that bet. You heard it beyond off audience.
Okay.
I will take that $100 since, that it wins an award.
Okay, three awards. Since you want to.
No,
okay,
you
seem too.
You
seem
you
way
said
too
an
confident.
Award.
You seem way too confident. I don't know.
You're changing your
mind. You seem way too confident.
Are we allowed to gamble on our show? I don't know.
are we?
I don't know. We're
100 Robux. Sorry, that's what I meant. Robux.
Okay. How about this? If Remnant does not win any awards this year, Akeem, I will buy whatever PSVR 2 game that you choose on the PlayStation Store, and I will platinum trophy it.
That's a weird claim.
I
don't even, why don't you just get him a pizza or lunch or something?
He wants me to open my PSVR 2 that's still sitting in the box. So I thought that was a good bet.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
It's a bold claim. No, so like, Jada, you're saying that this has got some like major game of the year potential, but it's also coming out in a completely stacked year.
It is.
And it's also the kind of game that really, it truly shines on repeat playing. It's meant to be really just run through the ringer, which is a hard thing to do this year because there's a lot of other stuff on the table. So I see where Akeem's coming from. I honestly, like, it's you know, this game might not be for everybody, and it might not, you know.
I'm just feeling like there's so much that has come out this year and that is coming out this year that I just don't see Remnant. I haven't heard much buzz surrounding Remnant 2. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that it's not good. I mean, Horizon.
You know why? Because everyone's playing it. All the people who love it.
Yeah, we don't have time to talk about it,
too
Akeem.
Too busy fighting goat people and deer gods and robots and stuff.
Dear God, please, Max.
Robots. Okay, so this episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue.
The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of robots, as we're prone to on the computer radio program in the year 2023, it's time we talk about Glorbo.
Glorbo! All hail Glorbo.
Hakeem, have you heard about Glorbo? Have you heard the good word of Glorbo?
I've heard murmurings, but I don't know much about
You
this,
don't know what a Glorbo is?
It's okay. A Futurama
And this
right?
is why I'm going to win the bet.
It is very Futurama. Okay, so this is when I like the internet again. This is one of those things the internet does that makes me very happy about the internet. Basically, people on a World of Warcraft subreddit realized that there were a bunch of like websites that were basically, you know, AI driven, and they would scrape Reddit for news or announcements and just turn that into blog posts or whatever. So somebody hopped on there, this user named Kafer Kriegerin, posted an announcement that said, "Honestly, this new feature makes me so happy." Basically saying, "I really love meeting Glorbo or whatever. I just really want some major bot-operated news websites to publish an article about this. I have to say, since they started hinting at it in Hearthstone in 1994, it was obvious that they would introduce Glorbo to World of Warcraft sooner or later. I feel like Dragonflight has been win after win so far, so when they brought back Chen Stormstout as the end boss of New Karazhan, absolutely amazing. Feel free to comment below what features and stories you want to see in the future. Maybe you'll be quoted on some trustworthy news websites as well." So some of that might be true about World of Warcraft, but like Glorbo is not a thing. Hearthstone did not come out in 1994. And these are things that human beings are probably aware of, if they're even, you know, tangentially aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Funny part is that an AI scooped this story up and wrote a thing about Glorbo on, I guess there's some weird kind of esports adjacent.
It was called, the website was Z-League, was what it was called.
Z-League.gg has a thing called The Portal, which is just like a giant toilet full of news stories, one of which was about the arrival of Glorbo and how everyone's excited about Glorbo. And it was published by someone or something named Lucy Reed, who'd also published 80 other articles that day. So I'm thinking that maybe Lucy Reed is not a real person. And then people, you know, the subreddit jumped on this and was like, haha, we fooled you, you stupid robots. Glorbo's not real. The joke is on you, math. And then Destiny 2 players are doing that too. And there's just been all sorts of Glorbo posting. And it's happened again. Three other websites picked up stories about Glorbo and was just, you know, I love that it's like, it reminds me of the Elden Ring subreddit before Elden Ring came out. Mm-hmm. When we knew nothing about it, people were just making up bosses and then tips on how to fight them. It's like that, but it's playing pranks on AI, which is something that I kind of need in my life right now.
I love just the fun of this story. Like, just people just, there's, I want to see if it work.
Are you most excited to see Glorbo popping up next?
Ooh, so first and foremost, I think the Bungie devs are totally one of those teams out there that would be totally in on the joke on this, and we'll get like Glorbo's cousin as like a side like enemy behind a door. Like, you'll have to kill a bunch of enemies and then wait outside the door for like 5 minutes.
Came from the moon.
And then like Glorbo's cousin also is like, sorry, Glorbo's not here, but die. And then like it'll just drop something and it'll be like
there's gonna be some super rare item called like Glorbo's Vengeance or
something. They'll do something like that. I have a feeling Bungie is very much one of those teams.
So Glorbo doesn't exist. I you know, I understand that. But yes. Does Lucy Reed exist? I mean, that's, I feel sorry for Lucy having to deal with this. Lucy thought that this was a real story, and now Lucy Reed, the American singer, or either
is that what you,
either,
Lucy
either
Reed
the American,
is an American lawyer.
Lawyer?
Yeah, she's a lawyer. Yeah. A jazz singer. Yeah, no, I don't, okay.
And part AI, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. So the ghost of a jazz singer is writing stories about Glorbo on the portal. Okay.
I think if there's a game that we get Glorbo in next, based on the popularity of it this year, I would say Tears of the Kingdom, like subreddits, because they're so packed with people doing things. I could see Glorbo popping up in one of those.
Where do you see Glorbo actually popping up? Aside from I think Destiny's a very safe bet because they'll do like a little wink and a nod here and there.
Yep.
I could see maybe Diablo doing something.
Yeah, I could see Diablo. They need some wins.
Yeah.
They've been kind of like hit and miss with a lot of their stuff since the launch.
If they do add exclusive Glorbo stuff to these real games that's actually there, it is going to be so hard to find information on it because you're just going to find a bunch of garbage that's like spat out by robot news posting.
There's got to be like some indie game dev right now that's working on some you know, $1.99 Steam game called like Glorbo's Revenge or something like that, like just based on this fictional character.
Do you think that, so the Katamari Damacy devs are working on that game, like, you know, those like those stupid phone mobile games that aren't actually games, you can't play or whatnot, and it's like, you know, raise the bridge to get the treasure, but don't make the lava fall in and kill your guy. So they're making a game. I saw something about them making a game that actually makes those games playable, like as a bundle. And I could totally see them doing a DLC, like Glorbo's DLC or something like that for like 99 cents and throwing it in there later. I could also see them doing that because they're already playing with it.
Is the name Glorbo trademarked already? Because we might be onto something.
Glorbo.gg, my new game website. Glorbo.gg is not taken.
There we go.
Glorbo.
Glorbo.
I love it. It makes me happy.
All hail Glorbo.
Now, on the subject of actual news, there is actually some stuff to talk about, some tidbits here and there. So I figure we could have a little old news rodeo.
What?
First things first, first order of business. Happy, I don't know what you call this. Sony has sold 40 million PS5s. In spite of us complaining, they don't do enough to tell us about what's new to PS5. They don't announce new games. They don't do anything for PSVR 2.
And they don't need to.
They're doing just great. They sold 40 million PS5s. They posted about it. They said, happy birthday, us. They said they ate an entire cake. They said, this is weird. They had a thing of top five PS5 games as voted by the PlayStation community. And it's like Astro's Playroom, Bugsnax, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Cult of the Lamb, Dead Space, Death's Door, Deep Rock Galactic, Demon's Souls. I feel like this is the top PS5 games that the players of whom voted for. It feels like a very all over the place.
Yeah. Kind
of list. And it's also the 40 games that have been voted for. So it's 40 of these bad boys on this list. And yeah, it just seems like a hodgepodge of, like, I mean, Worms Rumble is on there.
That
I don't
was a,
know.
That was a
little PS Plus freebie.
Yeah, it was a PS Plus freebie, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's...
I think, like, what, probably, like, at least a quarter of that list that they had voted on were at least the PS Plus or part of the PS catalog for PS5 players who got it early. So I'm not surprised a lot of those pop up in there because when you give away a game for free, you get more people to
40 million PS5 owners out there. There's a lot of people to pull from, and I guess some of those people decided to vote on this completely arbitrary list and to celebrate.
They actually had 40 people vote.
Sony made a cool graphic that they posted on their blog. So congratulations. Meanwhile, Xbox Series X is apparently at around 21 million. I guess Microsoft infamously doesn't really like publicize their sales numbers, but there was some.
It's part of the trial stuff where stuff came out, maybe?
Some presentation or something or other, but 21 million. And then both of them can shut up because the Switch is 125 million. Yeah. So, like,
Switch don't care. They're taking it all to the bank.
Yeah, so, yes, suck at teraflops. We got 720p games doing just fine over here. Anyway, speaking of cute little old handheld games from the olden days, Patapon.
Patapon.
It's going to take a while to get through this, isn't it? It's getting a successor called Rattatan. It is Hiroyuki Kotani, the creator of Patapon, launched Kickstarter, met the goal in 47 minutes, which was, I think it was kind of a lowball goal. Like, I don't think you can make a video game for like $100,000 or whatever, but it's currently at like almost $500,000. It's got 30 days left to go. I know that Patapon's one of those, you know, sort of beloved cult classic franchises that I'm sure people... you know, want more of, and it looks like you're gonna maybe get some more.
I'm very excited for this. I love the rhythm kind of gameplay of Patapon, and I'm really excited for Rattatan.
Do you think the Pokemon company is gonna come after them? Isn't that the name of a Pokemon, by the way?
Oh, you're thinking Rattata, but no.
Rattata, not to be confused with Rattatat.
Oh, you're right. It is Rattatat. Sorry, I don't know why did I say Rattata. I'm in Rattatan mode.
Rattata no
is right.
Rattatat, but it's
Rattatat. Anyway, Rattata and then Raticate.
Now it's Rattatan, the final evolution.
The final evolution of Raticate.
Is here. Patapon. We really just covered this because our producer Red, who's not even here today, is very excited about this. I think. So
and it looks cool. Yeah.
Do you like tapping? You like doing tappa?
I do. I have tap shoes. Wait. Oh, you mean in game form?
Yeah. Just do the clicking, the tapping, the patta, you know, whatever.
I guess I
hate rhythm games, so I'm cool. But
see, I love rhythm games.
It's cute. I like it. I'm happy it exists. I'm glad they're making it. It's nice.
No, it's totally fine if you're not a rhythm game player. It's totally fine. Like,
well, one thing I hope is not a rhythm game is Insomniac's unannounced game, which is not announced, but in sort of a casual, I think there was some interview with people going around. Somebody just, you know, let slip that they're making a game that isn't announced, which is like not really surprising.
Not Spider-Man and not Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's a AAA game, too.
Which narrows it down a lot.
Does it?
No, it doesn't narrow that at all. Well, it's not Spider-Man. It's not Wolverine. That leaves everything else in the history of popular culture.
Any other Marvel franchises that they might be...
So, realistically, I feel like it's probably Ratchet & Clank.
Yes. Right?
Like, it's probably... Seems like a...
I believe they said it was their North Carolina studio, which I believe is also the studio that regularly makes Ratchet & Clank. So, it is a safe bet. It's also been, 2 years since Rift Apart now? So it is about time for that development cycle to kind of start kicking back up.
Yeah, but why would you go with a safe bet when you could do something completely out there, wingnut crackpot theory that we're about to predict?
I mean, to be fair, they're going to have so much money raining in on them from Spider-Man and Wolverine, they could literally make Glorbo and we'd be good.
Make a Glorbo game.
Make Glorbo, Insomniac.
No, I mean, what about Resistance? What if they reboot
Resistance? I would
Resistance
love
that back?
Resistance.
That'd be cool. I'd be down.
We need some new FPSs.
Yeah. They don't make those anymore. They don't. You know, I feel like
not like they used to.
I mean, Xbox bought like most of the FPS companies, so that's fair. Sunset Overdrive. That's speaking of Xbox, a weird kind of, you know,
in
gray area. I keep waiting for that one to you know, that in the same way that it's like, oh, great news, everybody. David Cage went independent from Sony, or like, you know, such and such, this formerly exclusive thing is now available for this thing. You know, Final Fantasy 14
is now going to Xbox.
That's right,
yes.
You know, so like, it's not out of the question. It's not unheard of that we would get a Sunset Overdrive running on PS5. Be cool.
I'd be down to replay this one.
It's a fun game. It's a fun game. And it's, you know, I think it's funny now because like, Insomniac is a you know, it's a PlayStation studio now.
Yep.
And this is one that, you know, diehard PlayStation fans presumably didn't ever get to. So I was looking at their sort of roster of games that Insomniac's produced. They made Stormland, which was an Oculus VR game.
I forgot about that one.
I don't think I even heard about it because it was...
I think I saw it at like a con back in the day.
I don't think it was even... It didn't even come to the Quest, did it? I think it's a strictly PC one.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, which makes it kind of hard to get to, but... you know, it's not out of the question that Insomniac would make a PSVR 2 game. So that'd be kind of
that actually. You know, that's a good
kind of cool. If you know, if PlayStation made some games for its
their first party studios made a big title for their $600 hat.
But hey, I don't listen to me. I didn't sell 40 million consoles. I don't know.
Meanwhile, my PSVR 2 is just hurting over there collecting dust. I'm just staring at it right now. It's just so sad and lonely. I haven't touched that thing in months. It would be awesome if Insomniac were working on a PSVR 2 game. I just wish someone was working on a PSVR 2 game that I wanted to play. I think Madison VR is coming out later on this month. But.
There's a couple of new tracks coming to Beat Saber, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Rhythm games.
I love my rhythm games.
You don't love it enough to open up that damn box, do you, Jada?
Not that one.
you're gonna sell that for collector value.
I don't know. Maybe at this point, you could. That's kind of where I'm at this point.
What else could we get from Insomniac?
Maybe they try to bring back Fuse, which is their one black mark on their record. Oh,
so that was almost so cool. Do you remember what that
was?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It was Overstrike.
It was.
And it looked so good. It honestly kind of just looked like Overwatch, but it looked like a PS3 game based on the G.I. Joe 80s cartoon. Mm-hmm. I was into that. And then they were like, here's Fuse. I'm like,
yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it definitely lost its way after its initial like announcement and stuff. Or just, I don't know, we remember it differently than what they were trying to do. But
what do you think Ratchet and Clank could do, mechanically speaking, that would really get people to sit up straight and pay attention?
That's a good question, because I mean, with Rift Apart, the whole jumping between dimensions and stuff was really hot during this time of multiverses and stuff like that. So it was really smart for them to do that. They've already played with time a lot. They've done a lot with time. They've done space travel. That's the big thing.
They've never done true open world, right?
No, it's always been like just hub based through different planets and stuff like that.
I feel like Rift Apart kind of was playing with
moving towards that. Yeah, areas,
which is partially because it's playing with the PS5. It's technically capable of that. They know what they're doing over there.
Yeah,
but is that a thing that they would do, or is that sort of muddying the message or whatever, getting kind of...
I don't know. I think maybe diving into another, maybe pivoting Ratchet and Clank to another type of genre or something like that could be cool. Maybe like a roguelite could be kind of a cool way to do Ratchet, where every run you get different guns and weapons
because they have different ones. We would never get like a first-party AAA roguelite.
We would never get one of those. No. They don't exist.
No, they never made one.
Who would Returnal to that?
What kind of PlayStation podcast would forget about Returnal?
Nobody would return to that.
No, everyone's very mad about that.
I was mad about it myself. I kicked myself. I think it'd be kind of cool. I think that's maybe, if you're asking people to... like pay attention to Ratchet, maybe going in another genre direction could be something that kind of brings some eyeballs to the franchise. Whether that is a good move and it's received well or not, people would be like, hey, Ratchet and Clank is changing their formula for the first time in 20 plus years. Like it's a different genre of game now.
I mean, open world would do that too.
It's too.
And then, they've done Spider-Man, they've done Sunset Overdrive. Like they do
have a lot of experience with open world. So you're probably more accurate than I would be on this I guess.
I'm curious. Those are extremely fun games. I'm happy they're still out there making them. That's probably what they're making. We're kind of speculating here. We're kind of just spinning our wheels, doing our best guessing. But guess what? We got some more of that to do.
And let us know in the comments what you think Insomniac's working on. What do you think their next
game is? Spyro the Dragon. An open world Spyro the Dragon. That's what I want.
The hit Activision franchise.
Spyro
the Dragon.
Wasn't that Insomniac?
It was Insomniac, but it's Spyro's owned by Activision.
Spyro's,
Xbox.
Yeah, you're right. It was Insomniac, but yeah. Yep.
They took
Spyro. They got the dog when they got Crash in the in the breakup. They also got the dog.
Yeah, they got everybody. So speaking of really just extremely thin rumors and theories to go with this. Okay, you're both sitting down, right? You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. Capcom.
Beloved Capcom.
Is reportedly working on a game that would, quote, sell millions by March 2024. So the end of the first quarter of next year. A video game studio that has made money selling popular video games is planning to continue doing that.
It's a lot to handle. Wow. That's a lot to handle,
Max. We had a very long discussion about this, and then we were like, this isn't news. This is, we know they're going to do another Monster Hunter game. Why would they? They're not going to come out and be like, we have great news. Monster Hunter is retiring. It's over. It's done. We're finished.
No more. We decided ever.
Our houses are too big, and we'd like to live in poverty.
Nobody like. We found out. Nobody canceled. We decided that we actually really didn't like hunting dinosaurs and dragons and other fantastical beasts. We just didn't think it was.
We decided it was mean.
Yeah.
No, like this is. I feel like very likely Monster Hunter 6. Everyone is just kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. The big thing that's funny about speculating about Capcom games is that. Their thing got hacked. We got a whole spreadsheet of like their next 5 years worth of mm-hmm. things that they've got planned. There's a bunch of stuff in the works that hasn't surfaced yet. There's like codename Resident Evil Hank or whatever, or Hunk. And there's, you know, a Power Stone remake, things like that. There's also stuff they've announced that, you know, we're sort of, what's the one, Pragmata?
Yeah. Pragmata that keeps. They keep doing new trailers where they scribble out.
Think they think that's going to sell millions.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be Resident Evil. It could be, you know, Monster Hunter 6. But it's no kidding. It's weird. Like, these things surface and people are like, oh, this is what we heard. This might be happening. It's like, you know.
Yeah, and like, I've seen the rumor from like a bunch of like smaller things, but nothing that's like corroborated anything. There's been no like, oh, this dev said this in this interview. It's just like, I know a guy at a Ruby Tuesdays. Who had a cousin whose best friend worked at Capcom.
I got some info from folks at Burger King.
Ooh.
They're working on a new hamburger over there.
Ooh.
Yep, that's
Man,
right.
It's they're crazy.
They're continue selling the existing hamburgers and the French fries.
Wild,
well. That's
wild world that we live in.
It's out there. I don't know. I feel like Capcom has really done a good job of kind of staking out that first quarter window. Like,
yep.
Just putting out some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and so we're overdue for a couple franchises. New Monster Hunter is dwindling down development on Rise for all its post game with Sunbreak and everything like that. We've got we're still waiting on a new Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry 5 was like 2018, 2019, I want to say. So Devil May Cry 6 is also prime to make its reappearance. We're pretty sure it's not Mega Man because they put out a poll saying we don't know what to do with Mega Man. Where should we go with Mega Man? I'm paraphrasing.
For sale. Poor Mega Man.
But they've got a lot of stuff in their catalog that they could really dive into, like maybe Power Stone. Capcom. Power Stone.
Dozens of copies.
Power Stone. Just do it. If you want some,
what kind of a Capcom do you want?
Oh, I just want more Resident Evil. That's it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
Just give me more Resident Evil. They've been coming out with Resident Evil. It seems like there's been something new
every year.
Almost every single year since the pandemic. Like since 2020, it just seems like we've just been getting Resident Evil something every single year, be it a movie, be it a TV series, be it a video game. I just want something Resident Evil. I want a new game, honestly.
And I mean,
I want us to move forward with this particular franchise.
And I mean, what they've been doing with the engine and stuff for 2, 3, and 4 have been fantastic. So like, and I could easily see them bringing back Code Veronica or Resident Evil 5. Like, those are both kind of prime for that timetable of like, hey, we should get these updated and put on the new flashy consoles to sell another couple million copies of this. Because those will.
I don't think Resident Evil's out of the question. I think Monster Hunter's more likely, but mm-hmm. as far as like a Q1, you know, release next year, Resident Evil 4 Remake got announced in June. That was sort of a big E3 type announcement. Capcom didn't. We were not shy about saying this. They did not have a ton to show during the sort of summer E3 window, whatever. I couldn't find any indication of them having a presence at Gamescom. But that is coming up very, very soon, and I think it's going to be a big year. Nintendo and Xbox are both making appearances.
Yep,
which is, that's, you know,
wild.
nature is healed or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I would love to get a Resident Evil 9 would be cool. Just something entirely new. Like, remakes are great and all, and there's always that kind of like, ooh, Code Veronica. Like, also, mm-hmm. you know, we're probably going to get RE4 DLC at some point. Maybe that's their Gamescom announcement, or their just arbitrary week in August announcement. Who knows? So, Akeem, what are you playing these days? You got anything going on?
Well, this past weekend, I was just playing Tekken 8, the closed beta, getting my butt whipped. I was just getting washed by players online. So I had to hop out of that, and I just went back to Final Fantasy 16. I'm 60% complete in that game. I think I might actually, I'm trying to beat this before Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm doing my best to.
Yeah, you definitely finished Final Fantasy before Baldur's Gate. I think Baldur's Gate's going to be one of those ones where it just kind of takes over my whole personality.
Yes, we got a tidbit of news about that one where it's, I mean, through no fault of its own, I guess, that's basically a PS5 console exclusive this year, which is going to make a very interesting Game of the Year discussion, I think, because, you know, it's cutting out a lot of the people who would be playing it, which sucks, you know? Like, I mean, I say this, I like, this... You know, the whole issue, I think, is that they're trying to get, you know, co-op running on Series X and S, and I guess the S is, like, tricky, and it's
having issues, massive. Yeah.
They also said you can't preload the game because it's, like, 170 gigs or something like
188,
that.
188, yeah. I think, is what I saw.
Really?
I think it was all 188 gigs.
Yeah. Akeem, are you going to mess with Baldur's Gate?
Oh, hell yeah! That's, like, honestly, right now, it's, like, it's that point in my gaming life where it's like I'm just trying to fill time until we get to like the meat, and I think Baldur's Gate 3 is the meat, and then Starfield, like and then Spider-Man 2, like I'm just filling time right now. I'm like I said, I'm hoping I complete Final Fantasy 16, but I'm just filling time right now. I feel like I've played it enough to where I get it. I get where this is going. There's, you know, I love the Final Fantasy franchise, but there's nothing about it that's really, this story isn't really that captivating for me. So I'm ready to hop onto the next thing. And yeah, Baldur's Gate. I've never been interested in the Baldur's Gate series, but I saw some bear sex, and I was like,
orders skyrocket.
Yep.
Basically.
Yeah, they went from what 25 to top 5 or something after that on Steam wish lists.
It's good to know that I'm not alone. There's other men of culture out there as well,
and women of culture.
Yeah, people of culture.
There we go.
Distinguished Ursine aficionados. No, I think we should mess with this. Like, we've been sort of trying to think, like, the over on the Nintendo voice chat, they basically did like a whole Talk of the Kingdoms, like sort of limited series about Tears of the Kingdom, because that's obviously a massive, huge game for Nintendo and everyone's playing it. And we're kind of looking ahead at, like, could we do something like that? What's on the horizon? Xbox could obviously do Starfield. I'm thinking Baldur's Gate 3 might be sort of this year's thing to talk about.
Beyond Baldur's Gate?
Yeah, pretty much.
The big BBG, baby. Beyonder's Gate? I kind of like that.
D&D Beyond. Wait, no, they already have that. but it's kind of, I don't know. We're talking about this, like, Spider-Man looks amazing. Or, in Friendly Neighborhood, whatever you want to call him. Whatever epithet he's got going for him. But, like, it's also kind of a known quantity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're all going to have our stories about playing Spider-Man, but it's not going to be, like, you know, surprising plot twist.
It's not going to be a unique experience for everybody.
It's going to be more akin to, like, we all saw the same movie, you know?
Yep.
And it's, even though it is a big open world and there's going to be other stuff to do. And yeah, I don't know. That's sort of bittersweet, I think.
So, like, the whole aspect of different stories and stuff, like, if anything does steal awards from Remnant 2 this year, it's going to be Baldur's Gate, because it's that same kind of thing where they have, what was it, like, I forget how many hours of cutscenes they said it was astronomical.
Something, yeah,
100 and something. I remember that.
Yeah, and like you're not gonna see all of them, and like it's multiple playthroughs. Like you've got to play through multiple times. You've got to make different choices in each of your playthroughs depending on your character's background and stuff. Things will change. Like it's gonna be just ridiculous. I cannot wait for Baldur's Gate.
Cool. Well, we got time until that happens. So it's no secret that we here at IGN love to play games and review them, but our opinions might be different than yours. You may have noticed that. We want to find out which games you think are masterpieces, whether you like their innovative gameplay, incredible graphics, or compelling story. We want to hear from you. Here's how it works. Log into IGN.com or the Playlist app, search for your favorite games, and click through to the game title page. Click on Rate Game, and then complete each section of your review. Hit Save at the end of your review, and voila, you are helping to create an icon. And then depending how well-reviewed a game is, it'll be awarded a Bronze, Silver, or Gold Icon Award. So basically, this is a way of actually kind of quantifying what are sort of objectively good games. People are always like, give us an objective review. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a, you know, this is kind of getting the crowd's entire opinion on it. So there's a bunch of ones up there already. I wanted to hear from you two. What's on your list? What's your pick, Jada?
I'm going with Hades. Hades is a fantastic roguelike game. Won our Game of the Year a couple years back for IGN. Won a bunch of Game of the Year awards for a bunch of places. Really pushed the genre forward. Just the gameplay, the story, everything it did, it just did it right. And it's just masterful design from the folks at Supergiant Games. And I cannot wait for Hades 2 when it hits early access supposedly this year.
This needs some more love. This needs some more icon award.
Yeah, it's only 18th.
It's 18th place, which might seem arbitrary, but it is at the very top of the silver tier, and it deserves gold.
It deserves gold.
Those ancient Greeks, they love gold stuff. So like that needs to happen. So get out there. Now, speaking of silver things, one of our favorite Silver Age heroes is Spider-Man, Akeem.
Absolutely, and that's on my list. A couple of games that honestly deserve gold tier for me, Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. Of course, you know, we have, you know, in preparation for the upcoming game, Spider-Man 2, you know, I've been replaying Spider-Man Miles Morales, and it's honestly a sleeper hit. In fact, I've lost out on sleep suffering from insomnia because of Insomniac
little
playing this
indie
damn
game. Sequel to AAA massive first party. Who is this so, spidered man?
You know who he is.
Does whatever does he do whatever a spider can?
He does, and more.
If you're good at the game,
even more than that.
Oh. Yes, and if you're not good at the game, he will fall off the building and not behave like a spider one bit. No, but that's those are at 25th place and 41st place, respectively. Mm-hmm. I think those are definitely going to get some love. People, you know, because people already love those games. But yeah,
yep. How about you, Max?
Me, there's no Metal Gear on the list. There's Metal Gear isn't getting any medals, which is not okay.
No sleep loss for me.
Well,
no love loss is what it sounds
there's
like.
There's definitely
none of that either.
I think a little bit of recency bias. And
there
it,
is.
It has been. Decades since the last Metal Gear game, or at least a few years, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, this is one of those things where it's sort of, it's not just, you know, it's not just the top 100 games of all time. It's really trying to get like a bunch of people's opinions on what are great mm-hmm. games. And I don't know, that's going to be tricky because maybe some, you know, younger players aren't crazy about these old games. But
yeah, and I mean, it's
Phantom Pain is really good. maybe they'll finish it someday.
I mean, to be fair, you know, we got the Snake Eater remaster coming out. Resident Evil 4 is already on the icon list for us, so there's a good chance once the remaster comes out and more people get able to access to play the best version of the game, it may become an icon.
Well, I mean, in the meantime, people could just go over there and vote, you know. Just
you could
do what you gotta do. Just
you could but you could also vote for Hades, and that's probably a better idea.
It's a good, we already gave it the game of the year. Anyway, you there, dear listeners, make your voice heard. Log into IGN.com or the Playlist app and rate your favorite games to immortalize them as icons and give them little medals. Then check back often to see how your favorites are stacking up. It's fun. It's nice. It's also like if you're looking for recommendations of games to play, you know, scroll through those golden icon award winners.
Really good way for, you know, if you're part of the IGN audience to make your voice heard and see what other people on IGN are enjoying.
What is this Zelda game? This sounds
Zeldor.
Anyway, on that note, thank you all so much for listening. Akeem, Jada, thank you for hanging out, talking about video games with me. This is a good time.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more of the same thing we've been doing for the last 810 episodes. We'll see you then. Beyond.
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 Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.